Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The World According to Dragons, Book 2, by Harmon Cooper, narrated by Wayne Mitchell. The World According to Dragons, Recap, contains spoilers. Jaehaerys Shatara Vos, or Twillo, as he was called by his mother, starts the yearly Artifonts by getting a neck tattoo. Later that night, as he roams the streets of the city of Ekanth with his cart full of mapstones and other rare items, he has a chance encounter with Princess Embla. The princess recognizes him from their shared youth, which could be problematic because of his past. Twillo uses a hallucinatory dust to escape the princess and is chased by one of her guards, an elven orc named Roian. Twillo manages to escape Roian by using one of his relics known as the Enkilo Ring of Animation. From there, he hides out in a stave church that is run by a pair of monks named Olaf and Vraden. It becomes clear Twillo needs to get out of the city due to his alleged assault on Princess Embla. Before Twillo leaves, he meets the tattooist from the previous night and gets information about a relic outside of Padrian Sands, one known as the Quill of Katsimo. Twillo meets a mysterious elven man on his carriage ride to the northern city of Padrian Sands. The elven man turns out to be a kitsune in the form of a human, and the two become fast friends. Katashi invites Twillo to look him up if he's ever in Isnor's capital of Vendir. In Padrian Sands, Twillo finds the fixer who has the mapstone for the Quill of Katsimo. Annalie Vrignava is an elven orc who works at a tavern known as Storgata. After he gives her a prized relic known as the Tongue of Revan Amegrin as collateral, she gives him the mapstone. Twillo visits his safe house in Padrian Sands, one that is in an abandoned stave church, and heads to the desert. Upon locating the cave where the relic is rumored to be held, Twillo notices all the signs of a terrible yokai known as a Wolvencree. He waits to enter the cave until he's certain the beast is sleeping. As if by fate, another yokai known as a rake appears and releases a terrible sound which wakes the Wolvencree. Twillo is attacked and torn into two pieces. A voice comes to him at that moment, asking him if he wants to soulbind. Without any other options and bleeding profusely, Twillo agrees. The dragon, known as Adventus, takes shape and saves him. Twillo's legs are also restored. What Twillo doesn't realize yet is that all of this, from the encounter to the rake that appeared and awoke the wolf, has been orchestrated by Livia, the goddess of luck. He also doesn't know that the goddess has been working behind the scenes to set him up for decades, starting with his father, Shotaro Vos, who became obsessed with a relic he thought would bring Twillo's dead mother back to life. The relic happens to be the wristlet that Twillo now wears, which was how he sparked the dragon in the first place. The only problem now is that the wristlet isn't powerful enough to fuel Adventus for very long. To get stronger and to summon the other two dragon forms Adventus can take, Twillo must visit vortexes and ziggurats. The vortexes are located across the four kingdoms. They were places where dragons could recharge. The ziggurats are hidden, and Twillo will have to hunt for them. Not only that, Twillo will need to learn to cycle and use dragon essence. Adventus can teach him several things, but he's limited in what he can tell him because the goddess that helped free the dragon, Livia, has wiped part of his memory. Twillo returns to Padrian Sands and finds that Annalie the barkeep has left town with his relic. During this discovery, he also gets a first glimpse of what summoning power will be like by absorbing energy in the stave church. He meets with Vraden the monk, who is now in Padrian Sands studying. The monk tells him that the church back in Ekanth has some text he can't translate in the crypt. Seeing it as a lead, especially because Adventus will be able to read the Sagic script, Twillo returns to Ekanth. Once in Ekanth, Twillo and Adventus view the text, which tells them of two ziggurat locations. The first location is near the Oribi Monument in the Kingdom of Southfall. The second is in the north, beyond the fjords of the City of the Dead. After getting dragon essence from the vortex in Ikanth and getting scolded by Olaf the monk for falling asleep outside and drawing too much attention to himself, Twillo heads to the desert kingdom of Southfall. On his way to the Oribi monument, Twillo encounters a stylite nun named Sister Thonandi. Once she hears of what he plans to do, she grants him the power to access his dragon essence core. She also introduces him to his dragon aura. In doing so, she forfeits this power herself. Twillo continues on and eventually finds the ziggurat. The guardian of the ziggurat presents a challenge to him, one in which he is transported to a pocket realm and forced to fight alongside his father during the night that Shotaro Voss was killed. Before he's transported back to his world, Twillo also meets his former combat teacher, a woman named Renda, who reminds him how to cycle dragon essence through combat. Upon completing the challenge, Twillo is granted the power of the ziggurat. This allows him to summon Adventus in his worm form, known as his Vordic form. They are soon attacked by a dragon rider, one of the Senja. Twillo manages to defeat the Senja warrior while Adventus battles the dragon in the sky above. They travel back toward Ikanth and stop in Firebreath to recharge, where he encounters an old acquaintance in the form of a shield maiden named Rosie. Twillo experiments with turning off his dragon essence entirely in Firebreath, which is something he'll have to do in the future to avoid detection. Upon arriving in Ikanth, he finds that Olaf has been killed inside the stave church. Twillo is ambushed by Rowian, knocked out, and taken prisoner. He wakes inside a carriage heading toward Vendir alongside another prisoner. Twillo frees himself from the cuffs and fights back against Rowian, leaving the elven orc to die in the desert. The second prisoner turns out to be Anna Lee. She no longer has his relic tongue, having traded it to a fixer in Ikanth for a bracelet similar to the one Twillo has. Together, they go to the cave that contains the Quill of Katsimo and retrieve it, where they are attacked by a seemingly possessed wolven Kree. After being saved by Adventus, the two return to Padrian Sands to drop Anna Lee off. Twillo plans to speak to Vradin about the death of his life partner, but puts this on hold for the time being so he can reach the second ziggurat. He flies to Vendir, where he reunites with Katashi the Kitsune. While having his old family sword worked on, Twillo trains with Katashi, who has spent time studying combat with the Brethren of the Tribute Islands. He also upgrades the sword his father gave him. The blade is now able to shoot a bolt of dragon essence. Together, the two head to the City of the Dead. They encounter another Senja warrior, a female who nearly bests them. She escapes with her life after Twillo and Katashi are aided by Ash, another Ashinagatanaga, the name for a yokai with extremely long arms and legs. After a meal and some recovery, Twillo ventures toward the sea with Adventus. They fend off a yokai known as an Ohatsu and reach the ziggurat beneath the water. Forced to go forward on his own, Twillo squares off against a large stone statue of an infamous kitsune named Korobashi. He uses his newfound skills to defeat the statue and is given the power of the ziggurat as the walls around him come crashing down. Twillo is saved by Adventus, who is now in his dragon warrior form. They escape the ziggurat to find a new dragon flying in the air about. This is Seonsis, a red female dragon now in need of a rider. As Twillo returns to Katashi and the Ashinagatanaga, Livia watches on. She does so in a melancholic way, aware now that Jecha has taken Rowian's body, who Twillo left to die in the Isnordian desert. Jecha, the god of carnage, now has a host. Chapter 1. The Storm King Mountains. The blizzard tore across the snowy peaks of the legendary Storm King Mountains. Twillo heard a loud snap as an avalanche kicked up an incredible amount of snow, shattering snowdrifts and turning over rocks as it barreled directly toward the relic hunter. "Adventus, now!" Twillo shouted from behind a large boulder, his wristlet glowing blue. The white dragon took shape, magnificent as ever. Adventus jumped onto the boulder, opened his wings, and curved them forward, using them to shield Twillo from the incoming snow. The snow came in waves that shook the ground as they spilled over to the other side of the boulder, the wind howling wildly all around him. Twillo watched in awe as more flurries arced over his head, obscuring the frigid air. He let out a deep breath, one that he could see, and began to laugh. There was nothing funny about what was happening, yet his luck, and the fact that he could now summon two dragons, had saved the relic hunter yet again. "By Livia," he whispered as the snow settled, Twillo's face suddenly cold. The snow piled along the outside of his makeshift shelter. Twillo looked out over the mountains that he had journeyed through over the last 2 days with a pair of voices in his head, a mapstone as his only guide. Aside from the far north of Isenor, it was one of the remotest regions in the entirety of the Four Kingdoms. Upon reaching the start of the mountain range, Twillo had purposely gone on foot in an effort to conserve power. He had soon learned that hosting these two dragons, Adventus and Seonsus, was quite the drain on his reserves. Twillo desperately needed to visit more vortexes and find new ziggurats. What would make things even easier was to find a rider for Seonsus, something that the Red Dragon reminded Twillo about every chance she got. The Red Dragon had been freed from the realm of the Formless through the power of the ziggurat in the sea beyond the City of the Dead. She had a cunning personality, and could be quite sharp with her words.
"Look at you enjoying yourself," she said in Twillo's head as he continued to stare out at the snow.
Her statement broke him out of his state of disbelief. Twillo pushed himself to his feet and dusted the snow off his arms. He did the same to the fur hood he now wore, one that he had found on the body of a frozen dead man at the start of the mountain range. Isenorian elves had plenty of superstitions. One of these superstitions was about wearing the clothing of the dead. It was why clothing in the northernmost kingdom of the Sagaland was rarely recycled. It was fine to pass it down from one family member to another, but not for a stranger to wear someone else's clothing. But Twillo had traveled far and wide, and had seen that these kinds of superstitions generally held people back, preventing progress. He was glad to have stumbled upon the dead man in his coat, especially with the intense snowfall. Twillo accessed the mapstone. He turned it over and noticed a faint blue glow that traced along the etchings of a map. It vibrated softly, indicating that they were growing closer to the relic. It had to be around here somewhere.
"I believe the avalanche is officially over," Adventus told him, a bit of snow piled on the dragon's head. "We must conserve dragon essence. We may need it once we reach the relic."
Twillo looked up at the intimidating dragon, his eyes starting at the end of his maw, which was hardened into what resembled a sharp beak. Adventus had countless teeth, and his eyes, which were lined with red, had a blue energy sparking from them. This was one of the three forms that Adventus could take. His second form, known as his Vortic form, was a giant, worm-like dragon. His third form, a warrior several heads taller than Twillo and decked out in sharp dragon armor, was supposedly his most powerful. "I can cycle some dragon essence later, once we find a camp," Twillo told the dragon.
"That will help some, but not much,"
Adventus fizzled out of existence, his voice returning to Twillo's head.
"Let's continue."
"Thanks for looking out for me. It isn't often that one is greeted by a moving wall of snow. Vec Veclin," he said, a phrase that was both a greeting and a curse. It was also a name. It came from a man in the 600s who had opened the door and was immediately assassinated. And both Adventus and Seonsus found this joke funny, the two laughing as Twillo started back up the mountain. Because of the snow and because of the terrain, he had to wind his way toward the west. It was laborious. Cascading snowflakes twirled around his head as he transferred down to a path with animal tracks. They were mostly deer tracks, but there were some larger tracks there as well. Predators.
"This should be hibernating by now," Twillo said as he spotted the tracks of an Onikuma, the Sagic word for a demonic bear that reigned supreme over the Storm King Mountains. He crouched to examine one of the paw prints.
"Onikuma, they are good hunters. You know..."
Seonzus was interrupted by a terrible grunt. Twillo barely leaped out of the way as a demon bear tore out of the snow. The red-eyed bear lunged for him. Twillo fell backward in an effort to draw a sword. The bear dropped back and bared its teeth as it roared with animosity. It was an enormous beast, the size of two or three men, with white fur and thick skin. Twillo didn't stand a chance. He flicked his sword at the bear, conjuring a bolt of dragon essence which struck it on the shoulder. The demon bear let out a loud squawk. It cut a way through the snow, whimpering loudly as it did so, a bit of flesh on its shoulder sizzling.
"Vad, my heart!" Twillo pushed himself up just as the voice of Seonzus came to him.
"You should have killed it. Now it's going to come back and hunt us."
"You don't know that," he told the red dragon.
"Of course I do. That's exactly what I would do. You will need to be extra cautious."
Twillo nodded. "Noted."
"This relic better be worth it."
"I agree," he told Seonzus. "I agree." Twillo was certain he was close. According to the map stone, he was in the exact location of the relic. Twillo had been doing this long enough to know to trust his gut, yet he still hadn't any indication that the relic was around. And now, there were demon bears about. With this in mind, he popped open a vial of Trollen smoke. It was a vile substance, and the stink would linger in the air for hours. Even so, it would work as a barrier at the front of the cave he'd found a shelter in that evening. The demon bear wouldn't approach if it thought a troll was around. Twillo wasn't going to be able to have a fire that night, but the skin of a Maiordukai, which came from a goat that lived in and around the Storm King Mountains, would keep him warm with its magical power. Magic. Everything he understood about magic of his world had changed recently upon learning of dragon essence, the mana of the Four Kingdoms. Whether it be a warrior monk like Sister Tolnandi in Southfall, wielding it to do incredible things, or the power to summon and fuel a dragon from another realm, dragon essence fueled everything. Dragon essence was his world. His thoughts were interrupted by his own stomach as it let out a grumble. How long had it been since he'd eaten?
"I would offer to find something for you, but we must conserve my power. You know that."
"I know," he told Adventus as he stretched out. Twillo found a rock to prop his lower back against. It wasn't perfect, but it would do.
"You know, I could find something faster if you'd like. It has been ages since I was able to hunt."
Twillo smirked at the other dragon's comment. "I'm sure you'd like that."
"I am smaller than Adventus,"
Seonzus assured him.
"Faster, too. It's easy for me to catch smaller prey, and I'll take less power."
Twillo considered this for a moment. He could tell by the glow of the wristlet of Droll that he was low on reserves. He would be able to cycle his dragon essence to some degree, which was a way to recharge himself. But cycling was never as strong as reaching a vortex or a ziggurat and recharging there. There was likely a vortex in Padrian Sands to the southeast. He could also head northwest to the capital of Isenor, Vendir, where he'd be able to stay with the kitsune named Katashi. But that wasn't the direction he was heading. There were two other reasons he needed to go to Padrian Sands. As far as he knew, Aneli, the elven orc, was there at her tavern, hopefully waiting for him. She now had a wristlet as well. He didn't know how he would transfer Seonzus to her, but those were the kinds of details he could figure out later. There was also Vradin, the portly monk currently at the Monk's College, where he was doing some research on ziggurats and vortexes.
Twillo had yet to break the news to him about Olaf's death. As the days passed, Twillo had felt even worse about this. He knew that going after the relic was a bit of a distraction, yet it was also something that would come in handy. And it was, technically, along the way. "Fine," he finally told Seonzus once his stomach grumbled again. "But please hurry."
"I'll even cook it for you."
"Thanks." Twillo stepped past the troll in smoke and shielded his nostrils from the terrible smell. As he lifted his wristlet, Seonzus took shape, the red dragon smaller than Adventus, but not by much. She took off, spiraling down to the foothills below.
"I hope you know what you're doing."
"I don't think she'll be long."
"You hardly know her," Adventus reminded Twillo.
"I understand her urges. Anyone's urge to spread their wings." Twillo lifted his arms. "Feels good, doesn't it?"
"Funny."
"She won't be long," he assured Adventus for a second time. Twillo remained outside the cave, waiting for Seonzus to return. Occasionally, he scanned the foothills, his elven eyes allowing him to see better in the dark than a human. There didn't seem to be anything watching him, nothing he could currently spot. That didn't mean there was nothing there. This region was known for its terrible yokai creatures like Rake, Myling, and Wolvencree, not to mention demon bears.
"Something troubles you,"
Adventus said at some point as Twillo waited for the red dragon's return. "Something always troubles me."
"What is it?"
Twillo didn't want to tell Adventus that he was starting to feel guilty about delaying the news to Radin. Instead, he shifted to something else that was bothering him. "I feel like I'm not strong enough to take on the challenges that are to come."
"That's because you aren't. You get stronger gradually as you meet these challenges."
"I need more training."
"Get us to a vortex and I can help train you."
"I believe I need to better understand what they do in Southfall. The warrior monks, the water harvesters. I need to know more. People like them, arcane cultivators. Knowing this will help. I'm certain of it. I keep thinking about how Sister Tonandi unlocked an ability that allows me to access my dragon essence core. How amazing was that? How useful? I want to meet others like her if I can. But I will need things to trade. This is another reason I want this relic." He touched the map stone, which continued to vibrate softly. Twillo had wrapped it in cloth so it wouldn't make too much sound.
"You want this relic because you don't have something else to offer?"
"Honestly, I don't. That and the relic could prove useful. Aside from a few stray treasures and a couple odd coins, I don't have much. I sort of live my life that way. There are things in Ikant that I can sell, that's an option. I have less in Padrian Sands at my storage there." Twillo heard what he was increasingly starting to recognize as the sound of a dragon. They were quiet when they flew, but they occasionally flapped their wings. It was loud and noticeable, especially with the snow dampening sound all around them.
"She has returned," Adventus said as the red dragon swooped up and dropped something on the ground. Seonzus disappeared, returning to Twillo's wristlet. There was now the charred carcass of a mountain goat lying at his feet.
"I hope you like it well done."
Twillo smirked at her comment. "This will be fine." He ate what he could of the goat. After taking some of the meat and tossing the rest down the side of a hill so as not to attract predators, Twillo fell into a deep sleep. It was a peaceful one. Twillo, totally exhausted from a long day of sludging through the snow and narrowly avoiding death by avalanche and demon bear. Unfortunately, he wasn't quite in the clear.
"Left-handed one!"
The voice grew louder.
"Left-handed one!"
Adventus's words woke him, Twillo blinking a few times as he stared out at the morning light that filtered through the troll and smoke at the front of the cave. Twillo heard a pair of terrible snarls. Adventus spoke again.
The demon bears have returned! There are two of them!
Twillo sat up, aware that the bears wouldn't pass the smoke barrier. I will handle them. Only come to my aid if it looks dire. He was going to have to fight his way out. Twillo grabbed a rock. He could hear the demon bears outside of the cave, their growls and snarls growing louder. He thought about using his ring of animation on the rock and tossing it at them. He had done something similar before. Doing so would animate it in the air. There was no telling what would happen once it hit its target. But he expected to find the relic later that day. He was certain he would need the ring at that point. Twillo cursed himself for not getting up earlier and cycling dragon essence that morning. He could tell that his power reserves were dangerously low. He should have cycled. Doing so would have given him a much-needed boost. Yet it had been so cold. Even with his Myodukai skin, the negative temperatures kept him nice and bundled up. Now he regretted sleeping in.
"It's too much of a risk," Adventus cautioned him. "Let me help. I won't appear for long. My presence will certainly send the demon bears scattering."
"True, but I have an idea that will use a little less power. The only thing is," Twillo shut his eyes for a moment as he tried to remember what the outside of the cave looked like. What was above him? Was there a ledge? He had been in such a hurry to find shelter last night that he hadn't adequately scouted the area. This was yet another mistake. "Let me see if I can do this myself." His bag now over his shoulder, hood pressed back, Twillo placed his hand on the grip of his father's sword. He touched his chest with his other hand, reminding himself of his dragon essence core. Sometimes he felt less than adequate about his knowledge of the arcane power, but he was committed now. It had been unlocked within him, and now the fate of the four kingdoms was at stake, even if no one knew it yet. Twillo had to survive. With this in mind, he rushed forward straight through the trolling smoke. Twillo took to the air just as one of the demon bears tried to swipe him down. Flying straight up, he landed on a ledge above the opening of the cave. The relic hunter looked down at the two demon bears, the second of which was now standing on its hind legs. The beast was easily 13 feet tall, with sharp white teeth and thick black claws. It could almost reach him. There wasn't enough room to do something like use his sword to shoot a bolt of dragon essence at the bear.
"What now, relic hunter?"
"I'm thinking," he told Seonzus. Twillo could already feel the biting wind as it struck his face, his nose running, his eyelids starting to ice up. He wiped some of the ice away and exhaled.
"While you think, let me kill the bears. You can sell their hides later. They are worth a fortune, you know. Or at least they were back in my time."
Twillo considered this as he looked down at the two demon bears, whose coats were completely white from the snow. If he summoned the dragons, they would easily be able to kill the demon bears. That was clear, but there had to be another answer. There was still some trolling smoke in the air. Twillo could always go back in the cave and cycle dragon essence until it finally dissipated, but upon glancing at the wristlet of Droll and its faint blue glow, it was clear that doing so might leave him at a point from which he wouldn't be able to recharge. Not only that, but Twillo needed to get down from the mountains. It had been Adventus who had flown Twillo to the mountain range itself, saving the relic hunter several days of travel. But with the treacherous yokai that called Isenor Storm King Mountains home, he was hoping to be able to at least fly some of the way back. It was best to conserve power. The bears snorted. They paced back and forth, one of them frothing with animosity. They were bloodthirsty, angered by the fact that Twillo had yet to become a quick meal. Twillo would have a better chance if he could take just one of them down. He wished now that he had killed the smaller bear the previous day, or summoned one of the dragons at that point to help them. He could have even eaten it last night, saving more power. A smirk appeared on his face. Even after all these years of being on the run and putting himself in situations that no sane person would put themselves in, Twillo still made epic mistakes. And as he had learned countless times, sometimes the best way to face an epic mistake was with a smile. The grin on his face faded as the larger of the demon bears charged toward the rock. It threw its body against the wall of stone and ice. Wham! Its sudden action dislodged some of the snow above Twillo, which struck the relic hunter before he could react. The tumbling snow also caused more rocks to fall. Twillo pressed his back against the solid stone as one of the tumbling rocks struck the bigger bear, instantly killing it. He lost his grip and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?